This is Rabbi Yosef Epstein, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Aaron. Now, when did you first come to Lakewood?
I think 42 or 43, something.
Where were you before that?
I was in New York on my chavrutz, my former chavrutz von Kamenetz wrote me that Rabar made a koilon and paid Jünger Leit for learning.
Mm-hmm. And you were learned in Europe before?
Yeah.
Where was that?
In the Mion in Kamenetz.
Uh-huh.
And the chavrutz was in Kamenetz.
Huh. Where were you from originally?
Germany.
Which city?
Freiburg. It's a small town.
Freiburg, uh-huh. Okay. Okay, so then you came, so you had a chavrusa from yours in Europe told you that, in America, I mean.
Yeah.
That
you could... Rabbi Aaron made a
koil.
A koil. And whether I would be interested.
Uh-huh.
Certainly I would be interested.
Uh-huh. So you came, so how did you get in, what was your first? Yeah.
I got in touch with Saban and I came to Lakewood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was the experience like there at the beginning?
It was a small oilum.
Yeah.
Small crowd. Altogether about 25 Bochum and Ingelheit.
Where were they from?
All old timers. All they had learned in Europe.
Uh-huh. There were no Americans.
There were some Americans, but mostly Europeans.
Uh-huh. Okay. So,
Shmuel Kamenetsky, Eli Shvay,
uh-huh.
And others like that.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what was the experience like at that time?
It was learning a quail. I mean, to give you an idea.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go for a day to New York for doctors or whatever it was, you had to get reshus from the Vaad.
From the Vaad?
Yeah, you couldn't go. You couldn't leave the coil just when you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get the reshus.
Who was the Vaad?
If you were going your night.
Uh-huh.
So it was not. It was very. Very rigid,
uh-huh.
Very constructed.
Uh-huh. Okay, how did that compare with your previous experiences?
Well, I never had known before in a coil. I mean, coiling were not popular in Poland either.
Uh-huh.
It was something new.
Uh-huh.
In the last year before the war, in Kamenetz, they started the coil from a couple of human light.
Uh-huh.
But before that, it wasn't known.
So you learned by Baruch Ber?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. So how could you characterize the learning with Rabbi Aaron? Or the experience with
him? Well, Rabbi Aaron spent most of the time in New York,
yeah.
Not in Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
He came for Shabbos. And came to say his shiurim.
Uh-huh. And
at the time, he lived in the yeshiva. He had a room in the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm. And what was the shiurim like?
The shiurim changed over the years. That I knew Rabbi Aaron Zatzal.
Yeah.
The shiurim changed very much. Originally, there were more people.
More people.
More bakiyas.
Uh-huh.
When it changed over the years to more havone.
Uh-huh.
With less people and less yiddish.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Both in halacha and in musa. Mm-hmm.
So he gave halacha, musa, and shiur?
Yeah, he said that the equation. He said musa too.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any experiences around the in the yeshiva that were memorable?
No, I was impressed.
Yeah.
With the way Reb Aaron Zatzal was always learning.
Huh.
I observed him when he And he got calls from all over the world.
Yeah.
And between, and so he was busy minute after minute. When he's sitting getting his phone calls from all over the world, he would, by heart, quote Chatzor Iva Gemoras. Between phone call and phone call.
By heart.
With a, you could see him repeating by heart the Gemoras.
Uh-huh.
It was never a minute without a tether.
That, how long were you there at the yeshiva?
2 years.
2 years.
And then he started telling the people to go. He threw them out. Because he wanted to take in Americans.
Uh-huh.
To start, he needed Europeans.
Uh-huh.
But once they had the yeshiva, uh-huh, they told me to leave.
So, did he give you any advice, what to do, or things like that?
No, no. Just told him it's time to leave.
Any other experiences that you recall, detailed, in that period of time, that were memorable?
I had trouble.
Yeah?
When reading and learning, I didn't get him. He would repeat whatever he said. Would repeat again what he said.
Yeah.
I didn't talk too much in learning because I somehow didn't catch him.
Uh-huh.
I was to ask a question, would answer, when I wouldn't understand the question, would ask more, and I would get again.
Uh-huh.
I had trouble.
It was hard to follow.
Yeah. He had a very sharp cup. When a very fast.
Yeah. Could you give me some examples of that, that you, that are concise?
Pardon?
Some examples of that sharpness that you recall in particular.
I don't remember anything in particular, but he caught you before you finished, he now already knew what you were going to say.
Uh-huh.
It was very quick.
Uh-huh. Very aware of what was.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's it. So there's nothing else you could add. How did it, what kind of impression did it leave you with?
He certainly was a rhythm girl.
Any other experience that would exemplify that godless?
Well, he was very active.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the Rosh Yeshivas that didn't accept an offer of being Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva, who made his own yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
It's the type he was.
Uh-huh. Independent.
Independent. He was a leader.
Okay, could you add anything else before we stop?
He was a leader and he was very impressive. I mean, Baal Batim looked up to him.
Uh-huh. Even though they didn't understand what he the learning.
Yeah, I mean, the learning had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
They knew he was Odom Godel.
Uh-huh.
When he impressed them.
But what was it about him that impressed the Baal Batim? What was the details of that?
Well, an Odom Godel is an Odom Godel in all his ways.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when an Odom Godel deals with a person,
yeah,
it deals him with a Mabot of Emes.
What?
Mabot of Emes.
A Mabot.
Oh yeah, of Emes.
Of you.
Say, look.
Of you.
Stance of Emes, truth.
I mean, it was manifest in every detail of, yeah, what he did.
Yeah.
Every movement, everything he said radiated this godless.
Yeah.
That's what you've observed. Okay, thank you very much for your contribution. Everything counts. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Kol tov.